Good morning. We will be reading from Ephesians 3:14-21. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is.
May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Philip Watson, and today I will be speaking on becoming in the form of how Christ has nurtured my identity, how he has helped me recognize my values as a child of God, and learning to love more fully as God loves, and also finally embracing who I am in the fullness of God's grace. The first topic we're going to discuss is identity in Christ. I grew up in Philadelphia with both my parents, who came from Liberia and later became citizens. My parents always stressed education and religion and had me involved in a lot of different things in the church as well as in school. I feel sometimes that we always forget that we can do things through God. And as I went through grades, I experienced many different things that, you know, set me back and really tested my faith. But one thing that I remember throughout my life growing up is the first time I went to McDonald's at like 4, and my mom told me, "You've got a mouth, use it." So at 4, my mom told me, "Go up to the counter," and I can barely see over the counter at this point, and she's like, "Tell them what you want." And I still remember this because I remember going up to the counter, not being able to see over it, telling the cashier I want a kid's meal, and then what kind of toy I wanted. But this stuck with me throughout my whole life because basically it helped me realize that there are things that need to be said from time to time. And sometimes it's not easy to say. Sometimes you can't sugarcoat it. And you just got to be upfront the same way Christ was upfront with his followers. And this is one lesson that has stuck with me throughout my whole life, that, you know, God gave me my parents to be upfront with me the same way he was upfront with his followers. And it's nurtured my identity in Christ because it's helped me be upfront and honest with people when I need to be. The second is recognizing my values as a child of God. And I believe my value as a child of God is to lead by example. And this starts off basically in my community with a lot of young folk who, you know, in the city don't have the same opportunities that I have to go to school or to go to college. And I think in order for you to really have an effect, or in order to have that value, to show that value and be an example, you got to start in your own backyard. Because if you can't connect with those in your own backyard, how do you expect to go to a different country and connect with them without listening to what those in your own backyard have to say first? And a lot of times, all they really need is somebody to listen to them and to show them that there's a way out. And I have another example with a young man who, when I had to be in like middle school, he was shorter than me, and now he's like up here, taller than me, going to college, and I just watched him grow. I didn't always see him, but when I did see him, he'd tell me how he was doing in school, and I'd tell him, like, keep your head up, stay out of trouble. And as he got taller, he got taller, and he told me he was on his way to Cabrini College, and I told him just, you know, continue your work. But you also got to remember, you're a student first and the athlete second. That's one thing I always stress. And so just me building that foundation in my community, first listening to those and showing them there's a way out other than what you see on TV or what everybody else is doing in your community, just showing them that example is how I, you know, show that the value I have as a child of God. The next one I did was learning to love more fully as God loves. And this can be tricky, but it's not impossible to do. And I have an example with just something I experienced here on campus, working in the calf, and I was washing dishes. It was me and two other workers, and it was lunchtime, so it was pretty busy. A lot of dishes coming in from the front and the back. And, you know, you come to the calf, we just ask that you clear your plate off, put your utensils in the bin. And I had a run-in with one of the basketball players. I asked him to clear his plate, and he flipped us off. And, I mean, I could have lost my religion right there and went off and retaliated right back, but I said, let me stop, think about it, and, you know, go about it the right way. So what I did was I emailed the coach. The coach was like, oh, I'm not, because I wasn't there, I can't really say much about it. So I said, okay, it's understandable. And, you know, I just had to let it go at that point. And he later came up to me in the calf, the basketball player was like, why would you tell my coach? I'm like, well, because it was disrespectful. I could care less that you showed me that gesture, but the fact that there's an older gentleman back there is just show a little respect. So things like that, it's just learning to love and move past it and forgive. So, I mean, it's not always easy to do, is what I'm trying to say. But, I mean, with practice and patience and just knowing that it's in God's hands helps you move forward and just learn how to handle those situations in a loving manner and without retaliating the way you want to retaliate. The next topic is embracing who I am in the fullness of God's grace. Basically, I would say, in God's grace, I'm just the type of person who stands up for those who feel like they don't have a voice. And God put me here for a reason and has blessed me with the fact that I know He dwells within me. But answer me this, does He dwell within you? I want you to tap the person next to you and ask them, neighbor, does God dwell within you? This year, I recently joined Black Student Union, and we have made a lot of progress this year compared to last year, where we just kind of started off. And I feel, as one of the leaders, that I represent, you know, the voice of African American students here on campus. But I also question, you know, if you don't come to the meetings, it doesn't matter if you're African American or not, like, if you don't come to the meetings and state what you want, how are we supposed to speak on your behalf? So I asked, what are you waiting for? I mean, the opportunity and chances are now. And there are a lot of things I'm not afraid to speak on and talk about. Just, you know, making progress here, stepping out of your comfort zone, and things like that. So, I mean, I'm going to wrap this up now with a little poem I wrote. I was taught God will always be there for me, so I know the value of my friends and family. I hope you take something away from the things I say and your eyes open to a different perspective today. God put me here to speak for a reason, and it was not to sugarcoat or to be in people-pleasing, but to lead a generation of adults and kids and to show them what the real world really is. But to experience it, you've got to step out the comfort zone and live. Thank you.
All right, so my name is Makora Ngwegwe. Before I start, I want to start with a few questions. So let's close our eyes and forget where you are right now. Let's think of a time in your past where your faith was put to the test. Okay? So when your faith was put to the test, let's think of that time where your only option was to believe in God. You can open your eyes. Well, for me, this became a reality in 2006. It hit me hard because it was the day of my birthday, and I was celebrating it with everyone I loved. In my Mennonite faith, I wasn't really put through too many tests in my life, but at this moment, this was one where I knew I needed to become a believer in God and become a child of God. 2006, I was taught the definition of alcohol. I realized the burden it could bring and the pain that it could cause me. Alcohol is something that people use as a way to get away and a way to express themselves with feeling this buzz or this high. I don't understand alcohol, and to this day, I refuse to be around it. I cry when I see people drink it. And it's just because I lost someone that took the definition of alcohol to a different level. The night of my birthday will never be the same, only because I lost someone I thought I would never lose and would be able to watch me walk through graduation, walk me down the aisle, and see one of the moments of my life that we promised each other we'd see together. My cousin Yasingo lost his life simply because he thought alcohol was his purpose. So learning how to be a Mennonite, learning how to be a believer in God, was something I did not understand. I don't understand how God could do this to me at my young age, how he could take someone away on the day that he brought me into this earth. I don't know how many of you guys have struggled with faith, but this is where my faith was struggling. I needed to understand why God did this to me, and in order to take those steps, I needed to hate God first. I hated God not because he took him away, but because he didn't give me the tools in order to push through and learn who he was. Some people say things happen for a reason, and I believe this. Although I lost someone who was so dear to me, I learned what it meant to truly love God. His death was one of the downfalls and hatred moments in my life. I hated myself for wanting this party, I hated my parents for throwing it, and I hated God most of all. He didn't explain to me why he did it, he didn't explain to me how he did it, and he just left me there. Becoming a child of God was something that took time and patience. I needed this God thing to work in order to believe that there was a heaven. Makora became a child of God because she wanted to walk into heaven. She plans on walking into heaven to see everyone that I've lost. We lose people for a reason. And the reason why I lost him was to teach me the reasons that I dislike alcohol and the reasons why I plan on being an advocate against it. People might not take me serious because I smile all the time, but me smiling is a way that I cope with a lot of the struggles that I go through in my life. What I want everyone to take away today is the different things that I went through, or the one thing I went through in order to become a child of God. We go through many different things in our lives that not everyone may be able to see by staring at us. I understand that in order to take this journey with God, I need to have patience. I needed to understand why he would take this person out of my life for me to understand and truly love him. That point in my life is when I also had my sister, Elsaba, who was also sick with sickle cell, and she wasn't recovering at all. Once again, God was knocking me down. I can't tell you how I managed to get back up, but I did. So this is what I'm trying to tell you today. I became a faith believer through the message and struggles he put me through. I had to understand what it meant to fall in order to get back up. The relationship I have with God today is amazing. The fact that I'm standing up here today speaking about it is incredible. I promise patience and time and key are the biggest things that I had to learn in order to get here today. Trust me, patience and having patience is probably the biggest thing I hate. And trust me when I say, in order to become a strong faith believer, you need to instill the ideas that patience will take time, and I promise you will get there because I got there. Remember, Christ will live in you because you live in him. Thank you.
My name is Diego Marley, and I'm also going to talk to you about becoming, but to do that, I got to talk to you about the power of love, because I grew up in a Christian home. My parents always taught me Christian values. One of the first things they taught me is God loves me, but that wasn't the message I had in time. The message I had in time was I never was good enough for this God of mine, and I always had to do my best. And no matter what I did, God would never be pleased with me. And because of that, I had to be perfect in every area of my life. I had to be perfect with my grades. I had to be perfect with my relationship. I never felt good enough. And also, you know, I turned to ideas like sex because I thought it would bring me happiness, because if God wasn't fulfilling my needs, I thought it's sex and the ways of the world would bring me happiness. But I just realized, through the past year that the only thing that matters is God loves. And God loves each one of us. No matter if we're gay, straight, God loves the wholeness, man. And God loves us all. So once we realize that love, we can really bring each other peace. And just God loves it so much. And because I never felt good enough for God, I was on this crusade that I was gonna, you know, make everybody live righteous. I joke around that I was the sin priest. If somebody was sinning, I was like, oh, they're gay, they're homosexual, they're living in sin. I would be the sin priest. But now I don't really focus on sin that much, because God's love is way more powerful than that. And once I was able to realize that and realize how much God loves me, I was able to finally be at peace.
We hope these testimonies are encouraging for you in your faith walk, but also that they intrigue and they invite the sharing of faith and life stories around this idea of becoming more fully a child of God, embracing who we've been created to be, growing in likeness to Jesus. Alicia Garza has the gift of a song of response, and then we'll close with Jolie leading in prayer.
By showing the way that I walk in my life, the love that you've given to me, my heart desires to be like you in all that I do, all I am. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize I reflect who you are?
you.
You pray with us. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time this morning that we could come before you and hear the stories of your children. And I just pray that in each one of them, we can take something with us that would shape us and mold us to walk more fully and more completely with you, Lord. I just pray a prayer of love and blessing over each individual here that their story can be shared and proclaimed in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.